Psalm 22. What a joy it is to open God's Word tonight. And I appreciate you being in your place for this midweek service and looking for what God's got for us in His precious Word tonight. Amen. And I do appreciate you praying week after week as the Lord helping us to be able to open this blessed old book, preach to your heart. And that's what we want to do. I mentioned to you last Wednesday night, I dealt with these three Psalms in a row, just some introductory material. And Mitch, I feel like the Lord have us to preach through these Psalms. And I won't make very much headway tonight. We'll get started. Amen. And try to feed us and let's graze in God's Word. I'm going to read a verse to you over in Psalm 119, verse 18. This has been my prayer for the last several days as I've been studying, in particular Psalm 22. The Bible said in Psalm 119, verse 18, he said this, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I believe that's a good prayer to pray. Amen. I don't know all this book. And you don't know all this book. And that's the amazing thing about this book. Well, you live a lifetime and you just kind of, really just kind of get in the edge of it a little bit. But I tell you what a rich book this precious old Bible is. And I'm praying God to help us as we sing these songs about Calvary tonight at surveying the wondrous cross. That's what we're going to do for a few services anyhow. Amen. That's what we're going to find in this dear psalm here tonight. I'm going to read all this Psalm 22 tonight. Psalm 22, and I, like I said, I will not get very far into this psalm, but want to give us something that'll help us. I'm praying God let us in these services get a good glimpse of Calvary like we haven't had in a very long time. Amen. And if we see Calvary like it is, we'll see ourselves like we are. We'll see what He did for us. Amen. And the only reason we are here tonight is what He did. There ain't no way, had we were still lost, there ain't no way you and I would be in this place tonight. But because what Jesus Christ did, amen, religion is always crying, do. Did you hear that? Religion cries, do. But salvation says, done. Amen. It is what He did for you and I. Amen. Is why we're saved, why we're going to heaven, why we have a desire for the holy things. It's what He did for us. Amen. And so I pray God to help us in these services that our hearts will be stirred up. Psalm 22 tonight, and beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh at me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They get upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Thou save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name and unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kingdoms of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare us righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for giving us your Word, how it instructs us, how it has revealed to us what you did for us some 2,000 years ago. I pray now tonight, afresh, anew, may it come alive to us like never before. I pray, God, may the Word so break up the fallow ground of our hearts, that we might be more conformed to the image of Christ. I pray for that that's lost here tonight. May the Word penetrate into their heart. Conviction set in. They see themselves lost. See you holy. I see Christ the Savior. May they repent and be saved. Help us as your people. May you be glorified by what we say and do tonight. And we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I've read to you this psalm tonight, and we covered the introduction to these three psalms, talked about that they were powerful, talked about them being portraits and prophetic and practical. And then I told you to be reading, meditating on Psalm 22 since last week, and told you also about reading Matthew 27, Mark chapter 15, Luke chapter 23, and John chapter 19. And as you read, you probably figured out why I asked you to do that, for those are chapters that are dealing with the crucifixion. And as you look at Psalm 22, you see where they were fulfilled some 2,000 years ago. Now, let me give you several things as introduction to this psalm, and then I'll get to my thought. We do know this, that David was the penman of this particular psalm, but he's not writing about himself. A lot of his psalms where he talks about troubles and problems and then victory at the end, he is talking about something that he has experienced. But David had never had his hands and feet pierced. David did not ever experience what went on in this psalm. It was the Holy Spirit moving upon David, talking about a day that would be some 1,000 years later. Are you hearing me right there? That's an amazing thing. This psalm was penned down 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Man, if there's ever been a psalm that helped you understand, this Bible is divinely inspired, this psalm will certainly do it. He brought everything to pass that is prophesied in these early verses of Psalm 22. Now hear me right here. The writers have said this as I've studied. Somewhere over 30 prophecies are given about the cross in this psalm. And they all were fulfilled in that day outside Jerusalem. Now friend, I'll tell you, you can trust your Bible. Don't ever buy the lie of the devil and his false teachers and question whether this is right and talk about bettering. You stay away from that bunch. This is God's word. You can trust it. You can believe it. You can live by it. You can die by it. Amen. Hey, we find as you'll study, crucifixion was not even in David's day. Crucifixion didn't come around to the Roman and Grecians. In David's day, the Jew stoned criminals to death. But the Romans and the Grecians perfected crucifixion, one of the most horrible, grotesque deaths that anybody could die. It was a slow death. Amen. And so this psalm, we can see at the cross in these verses. Can I say this? And this will help you in case you ever hear the term. This is a messianic psalm, which is just saying it's a psalm dealing with Christ and looking for the day when Redeemer would come, the day Messiah would come. Hey, I want to tell you, the whole Old Testament was them looking for that day. Amen. Every sacrifice, every bit of that tabernacle and then the temple in their worship was looking forward to the day when Christ would come, not to put off sin for another year, but to take sin away, never to be remembered again. Amen. And so we find that this is a messianic psalm. For it gives very distinct prophecies about the Lord's death, burial, and his resurrection. Now, I read this, and listen to me here. As we think about it showing forth Christ, let me throw this out. This is just introduction, but man, it stirs my heart. We see Christ is clearly seen in this psalm. Can I say, first of all, in verse 6, he is the reproached one. For he said, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Hey, John said he came to his own and his own received him not. Hey, I'll tell you something. He is the reproached one as we read that verse. In verse 7, he is the rejected one. For the Bible said, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the hand. He's reproached. He's rejected. Hey, in verse 19, he is the requesting one. For he's crying out to the Father, but be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. He is also in verse 22, the first part, the risen one. For the Bible said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. How can you declare somebody if you're dead? So we see with verse 22, there's a change. From 21 to 22, we've gone from death to living again. For that is the resurrection. Christ did die, but he didn't stay dead. Amen. He resurrected. Hey, he resurrected under his own power. Amen. I can't stress that enough. He didn't come out as a spirit. He came out in a body. Amen. Yeah, we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, he told them disciples, touch me, feel me. Told that old doubting Thomas, hey, thrust your hand in my side. You can't touch a spirit. Right. Amen. But you can touch a body. Amen. So he is the risen one. He's the rejoicing one in verse 22. He said in the midst of the congregation, well, I praise thee. He's the ruling one in verse 28. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. He's the righteous one in verse 31. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Hey, when I read that verse, man, in my office the other day, it said they'll declare his righteousness unto people that shall be born. Who you reckon that is? You looked at them today. Amen. Hey, way back yonder, hey, he has done a looking forward to you. Amen. Hey, we ain't an accident. We didn't get saved by chance. Amen. Hey, we find that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God tonight. Oh, in this psalm is a photograph of the Lord's saddest hours and the record of his dying words. Now, I want to read something, then I'll get to my thought and begin this psalm tonight. As I've been reading and meditating upon the scripture and studying, I've read other books. I tell preachers, ask, where'd you find this? I said, well, I've milked a lot of cows, but I churned my own butter. Yeah. I read after some others, but then I cultivated into how I can use it. Amen. We learn one from another. That's right. But as I study, and I think probably the greatest commentary I've ever read on the Psalms is the treasure of David by Spurgeon. And he's got some of the richest meat out of these Psalms of anybody I've ever read after. Here's what he said about this Psalm. He said we should read reverently. Listen to this. Putting off our shoes from off our feet, as Moses did at the burning bush. For if there be holy ground anywhere in Scripture, it is in this psalm. I say amen to that in my heart. Hey, I didn't do it in physical shoe, but in my heart, I found myself on holy ground as I read and studied and meditated on this passage of Scripture. Hey, I want to preach to begin a message tonight. I ain't going to get far, but I'm going to preach on this psalm. The subject of this psalm is Christ our sacrifice. Christ our sacrifice. Now, to give you a heads up for the next two psalms, Psalm 23 is Christ our shepherd. Psalm 24, he is Christ our sovereign. But for the next few services, we'll look at Psalm 22, at Christ our sacrifice. Now, is he your sacrifice? Have you claimed what he did? Amen. If you get to heaven, it ain't going to be because you gave up a whole lot. It's not going to be that you got a good case of the do-betters. Amen. But you have trusted in his sacrifice. Amen. Hey, I could die, but I'd go to hell without Christ. Amen. But he died in our place. He was our sacrifice. He is the sacrifice for the entire world. From Adam's day to the last man that's born, Christ is the sacrifice for sin. Amen. Hey, we find in this psalm Christ our sacrifice. This psalm, as you've already recognized, is divided in two parts. In verse 1 through 21, there's the gloom. We'll deal with that tonight, part of it. Then in verse 22 through 31, there's the glory. Now, I'm glad it ain't all gloom with him, but I'm glad there's some glory. Amen. Hey, the cross was gloomy. It was dark. It was a sight of what God thought about sin and how Christ had to become all of our sin. Oh, the gloom. But oh, thank God, he ain't living in gloom anymore. He lives in glory. Amen. So I will look at this first division for this beginning tonight in verse 1 through 21. Let's look at the gloom just a minute. And in this subject of the gloom, I see first, if you're doing Roman numerals, it'd be Roman numeral 1, the gloom. Then your A would be Christ and his cries. For this whole psalm, the Lord Jesus is crying out. We see this verse 1 through 5, verse 9 through 11, and verse 19 through 21. For he said in verse 1 through 5, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. And on and on, he is crying out from Calvary that day. Friend, as he became your sin and he became my sin, he began to cry. Because you see, these cries, can I say, the place of his cries, as we know well, is Calvary. The Bible said, and here's why, again, why I told you to read these chapters, Luke 23 and verse 33. The Bible says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, when they brought him to Calvary. Now, I want to help you young Christians a minute. Hear me well. These older Christians, they don't know this. That is the only time in the entire Word of God that the word Calvary's found. That one verse, that's it. With all the songs we sing on Calvary, it's mentioned by name one time. Why is that, preacher? Because one time gonna be enough. Amen. Just one sacrifice, one death. Amen. Hey, just the one God-man, Jesus Christ, is all it took. Hey, right there. Hey, there ain't a greater place than Calvary. Amen. You talk about an area of this globe that changed everything. Amen. Now, it's just a rock mile, that little mound there. Yes, it's earth. But hey, it's the spot chosen by God himself to give his son a ransom for us all. I will throw this out too. I believe it's also part of that mountain range of Mount Moriah where Abraham took Isaac to. I sure do. It's part of that same run of mountains right there. Oh, friend, it is the place. It's also called Golgotha, as you read in Matthew 27, 33, Mark 15, verse number 22, John 19 and verse 17, called Golgotha, the place of the skull. It is that place chosen for Christ to give his life. But then I want to deal a little bit. Here's what I'm going to count mostly tonight is the period of this of his cries. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm talking about what was it like as he hung on Calvary and he cries out. These words, some of them, now look at Psalm 22, verse 2. Look at this verse, and then we'll go from here. He said, oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I am not silent. Now, you may know this or you may not know this, but according to the book of Mark, look over there with me, Mark chapter 15 and verse 25, the crucifixion started in the morning. It was not just an hour. We're talking hours. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter number 15 and verse 22, verse 25, it said it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Preacher, when's the third hour? That is 9 a.m. in the morning. They took him out. Hey, he didn't sleep the night before. They kept him up. He went through all the charades with the religious crowd that night. He wound up before Pilate, then to Herod, then back to Pilate, all before they took off somewhere after 8 o'clock, leaving out of the city, headed to Calvary. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, they nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. The sun shining. All right? It began in the morning. But as you study on the crucifixion, there are what we refer to as seven cries, not counting everything that's said here in Psalm 22. I believe part of Psalm 22 was a conversation from his heart to his father. There were certain cries that he made with a voice that others could hear him cry with. But part of Psalm 22, he is just talking directly to his Father. But there are what we call seven cries. Now, that first cry is found in Luke 23 and verse 34, where Jesus cries, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I'll tell you something. After everything he's already gone through the night before, and the scourging of that morning hour, and the mocking of them Roman soldiers with a crown of thorn and a robe, here he is hanging between heaven and earth, and all your wretched sin and all my wretched sin was ahead, and he said, "I'll reach all the way up and all the way back, and I'll take all of it, and I'm saying, Father, forgive them." Hey, there ain't nobody else can forgive sin. There ain't nobody in no little old closet can forgive your sin. And I'm not being mean, but that dude can't do that. Only God can forgive sin. Amen. And he cried out, "Father, forgive them." Hey, then we see the second cry is an old thief in Luke chapter 23. Now, in the beginning, we got two thieves, one on the right, one on the left, that's crucified with the Lord. And in the beginning, both of them are railing on him. They're both doing just like the crowd. They're there dying, and they're joining the crowd against the Lord. But something happened to one of them. Amen. Something got a hold of one of them thieves. I have a sneaking suspicion that it was that first cry that cried. Oh, yeah. And he first, "Father, forgive them." Hey, that boy knows I'm dying because I deserve to die. I'm guilty. I got caught. They're putting me to death, and rightfully so. And hear this man saying, "Father, forgive them." And I get to wonder if he don't think, does that include me? And his heart is touched, I believe, by the Spirit of God. I believe that. And as he looks toward Christ, he says, "Lord." He knew how to approach him. Amen. He'd quit all the ridiculing and mouthing off. He says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." I mean, this ain't a long drawn out thing, but it sure got the attention of the Lamb of God. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Oh, and Jesus didn't look at him and say, "You sorry low down dog." Amen. He didn't look at him and say, "Look, you're done caught. You're wanting to change your little talk now. You're sorry." Look, no, no, no. But he has to push himself up with them nails in his feet. And he says, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Not on down the road, but today I'm going to take you in under the blood. Amen. Hey, he said that thief, "Today the sun's still shining." We find out that he looks down at the foot of the cross. And there's his mother Mary and John the Beloved. John's the only disciple I know of that made it to the cross. The only one I know of. And I believe he probably wound up there because he was near Mary. Mary said, "I've got to go see. I've got to be there. I need to be there." And I believe John took Mary to the cross. And while hanging between heaven and earth, looked down at John and said, "Behold your mother." Looked at Mary and said, "Behold your son." He cared about his own earthly mama. Yes. Amen. I like something that Brother Eddie Davis says, if you'll stand by him on Wednesday, he'll stand by you on Sunday. Yes. Amen. Because it is the same. Oh, yeah. John the Beloved on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's day gets in the Spirit, and the Lord comes up and says, "John." Amen. Oh, yeah. Why? He done what he's told. Amen. This is him while the sun's shining. But then something happens at Calvary, an unusual thing. In the Bible, in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27, there's four other cries, but there's an event takes place before these are ever spoken. The Bible said in Matthew 27 and verse 45, he said, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour." Now, we found out earlier about that 9 a.m. being in the morning, being that early hour. But then we see that 6, that's 12 noon, 12 o'clock, middle of the day. And that last part there, the 9th hour, that's 3 in the afternoon. So from 12 to 3, the S-U-N and the stars don't shine. Now, you may be one of them. I know I've read something on that, preacher. There was an eclipse on crucifixion day. I don't believe that. You'll never convince me of that. I don't think he had to have it. The one that said, let there be, and there was, and said, son, you shine, and it shine. I believe he can stop it from shining. I believe it was a supernatural event that day at Calvary. God looked at the sun and said, you're not going to shine for a while. Stars, you can't shine. It's going to be darkness over the land. Amen. Hey, these last four cries are in the dark. Amen. Hey, understand something right here. I wish I could get this out it's in my heart. But I want to say this. Someone said, well, I asked, preacher, why did it get dark? I think there's a twofold reason. Number one, he's not going to let them keep looking at his son in the shape he is in on that cross as they ridicule. He made them be in the dark for it. But another reason is, I think he had to fulfill all the types of the Old Testament. You say, what do you mean by that? The book of Leviticus on the Day of Atonement, the Bible in Leviticus 16 teaches us this, that high priest had to go in alone. He had to go in alone into the Holy of Holies with the blood. Now here's something interesting too. He did not go in on the Day of Atonement with those garments of glory. There was no breastplate. There was no crown. There was no blue. There was nothing but a linen garment. You think about that. Preacher, what you get? Jesus left heaven, became poor that we could be made rich. Amen. He entered in by himself. I want to get ahead of myself so bad I can't stand it, and I probably will. That 3 o'clock business. Why? It's them that the veils rent at the end of darkness. Let that sink in on you, and the law will get called your house about midnight tonight. Amen. At 3 o'clock, the darkness got invaded by the light. Amen. You see, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when they do that evening sacrifice. That's right. Before that earthly priest could get any blood and go behind that veil, God's own son, Jesus Christ, took his blood. He went to the main holy place. And when he entered in and offered his blood, God said, satisfied, and grabbed that veil and rent it from the top to the bottom. Amen. Signifying the ways made, Christ paid the debt. Hey, and he done it in the dark. Amen. Hey, you having a dark time? The Lord was in the dark. He paid your debt. Hey, he cried in the darkness, my God, my God. Matthew 27:46, also Psalm 22:1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want to tell you something. You ought to get a hold of that. That right there, well, you've forsaken me. That word forsaken, and I'm about done, means to leave, to desert, to abandon, to withdraw from, to leave in straits, to leave helpless, to leave in a lurch, to leave behind, to let alone. That's what he says happened to himself. God, I'm abandoned, I'm deserted. Why? Your sin, my sin. But don't get mad at me. I am not adding to, I'm not attacking his kingdom. No. But the same word there, forsaken. Why thou's forsaken me? Is the same word in Hebrews 13:5, where Jesus tells the Hebrew believers, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I've been abandoned. I've been deserted. You won't never be. Amen. You'll never be. It might be dark where you're at right now. But you ain't alone. Amen. He is there. He will see you through whatever you're facing tonight. He cried, my God. Hey, John 19:28, the fifth cry. He said, I thirst. Man, what? There's stuff in this. My mind can't grab around all this. The Creator thirsting. Why is he thirsting? He is suffering your hell and my hell. Because in hell, there's no water. That's right. Hey, all the wrath of God's poured out on Christ on Calvary. He's thirsty because of your sin, my sin. Amen. I thirst. You know what? Since I've been saved, I won't never thirst again. If you're saved, you'll never thirst again. Why? Because he thirsted. Amen. Hey, then we see it is finished. John 19:30. What a phrase. It is, what is it? It is finished. Hey, it's done. He didn't make an installment. He ain't building the bridge and checking up on payments. I want you to know that. It's finished. The way of salvation, done. Amen. Through Jesus Christ himself. Then in Luke 23:46, that last cry, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Hey, death has claimed everybody that's ever died, but it did not claim Christ. Christ reached out and grabbed death and rode her into paradise. Amen. He chose when he is going to die. You and I can't. You can't. You say, well, I'll do this and this. You don't know when your moment you're going to leave out of here. You listening to me? But he chose the moment and the place. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit and yielded up the ghost. Hey, all this is in the dark, this latter part. Boy, what light broke in through that darkness that he suffered for us. Can I say this also? I see 30, and I'm done right here. Not only we see the place of his cries and the period of his cries, but the passion of his cries. Man, you don't have any more love than what you find. Psalm 22 and these verses we've read in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What love. Amen. Hey, there are a lot of folk told you in your life they loved you, didn't they? Now, some of you might have married your first sweetheart. I don't know. Most folk here have not. Hey, somebody in your life said, I love you. He didn't love you. He was infatuated. And you were too. Amen. That's right. But there ain't nobody who told you I love you like God does. Amen. He so loved you and I. He went through this. Hey, we see the gloom, Christ and his cries. We'll look next time, Lord, we'll look at two different things. We'll look at Christ and the crowd. And then we'll look at Christ and the cross for a minute. We're going to look in more detail at these things. And I believe God will help us because I believe in my heart, if we can get a good glimpse of Calvary, will you talk about a difference it'll make in our lives. Hey, if you don't know him as Savior, I'm glad to tell you he is the Savior. He'll save you tonight. Father, take the message, use it for thy glory. I've tried my best to just declare what your word had for us tonight. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And all you do, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've done my best to preach to you what the Lord's told me to. We didn't get very far in the psalm, but I believe we got as far as the Holy Ghost wanted us tonight. Is there someone here who say, Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm lost without God. And by lifting a hand, you admit, Preacher, that's me. I'm lost, and I need to be saved. Anybody in the building tonight, I'm lost. Can I say to you and I that are saved tonight, Paul, that we just look at him through the pages of the Word of God at the cross, that which he did for you and I. Boy, I bless his name that he loved me that much, he loved you that much. And may I say, the least you and I can do, and the greatest we can do, is give him our all. Serve him when the sun's shining and serve him when it's dark. Because he's worthy. Let's stand tonight while we sing. You may have a burden on your heart, have a need, and you need to pray. You come. Maybe you just want to come thank the Lord for what he did, for whatever. If you're a lost, we'd like to take the Bible and show you how to be saved tonight. Would you come while we're singing?